Okay, open your Bibles to Luke 21. We're going to continue on with in your patience possess ye your souls from this morning service. I don't know if you were in this morning's or not. And I'm not about to try and reteach that, but he has a specific aspect of it he wants to talk about tonight. So now let's look at this passage in Luke 21 to do it in context and understand what the Lord was talking about. He's talking about the end times, the signs of the end of this age. In Luke 21, starting in verse 10, it says, "Then he said unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. It says, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." Now that's so important. They're doing it because you are an outspoken Christian. What I mean by that is you are a Christian and everybody knows it. Okay? It's for his name's sake. "And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer." Isn't that interesting? "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and by brethren and by kinsfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death." Like I said this morning, you can Greek that till your brain rolls out on the floor. And it means exactly what it sounds like it means. They're going to have you put to death for your testimony, physically. "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." And here was the paradox to me. He just got through saying some of you are going to be put to death. "But there shall not one hair of your head perish." Now, wait a minute. You know, verse 16, they kill you. But verse 18, you escaped okay. not one hair of your head did perish. It took a long time before I finally... See, what the problem is, we don't think like the new creatures we really are. Physically, they may put you to death. But he's not really talking here to the physical man. He's talking and really prophesying until after the cross. He's talking about us, those that have been born again, born of the Father's Spirit. Now, they may put you to death in the flesh. They may actually do that. But he's saying, don't worry about it at all. The real you, not one hair of your head shall perish. I mean, you can tell that would be a stressful time. They're bringing you before the courts. And we can see this time coming in some measure even now in the United States. For years and years and years, I couldn't hardly detect any persecution against Christians. Well, you know, what in the world? But boy, as we're coming into these last days now, inclusion seems to be the devil's gospel for these last days. And real Christianity is not inclusionist. I mean, it will receive anybody. You know, I mean, it'll include anybody in the whole world that wants to be saved. But what I mean by exclusionary does not say all paths lead to God. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Now, how exclusionary is that? Well, the whole world is going to come against us based on that. And we're going to be hated, get this, above all other people for his name's sake. Well, if you're going to be brought before the courts and they actually have authority to put you to death for your testimony, you reckon there, you know, if you've been getting anxious over your Sears bill, if the economy has had you on the ropes, or a romantic relationship, or stress in the home, I mean, all of those kind of pale in comparison to tomorrow you're going to appear before the court, and depending on what they find, you'll either be executed or not executed. Relatively stressful, you know? And then at the end of that, he says this amazing thing. So let's read 18 and 19 together. There shall not one hair of your head perish, and in your patience possess ye your soul. Now, who is he talking to here? Possess ye. What we want to find out is, who is ye? Because you, the real you, the one he's talking to, is supposed to take ownership of your soul. See, most of us, we tend to think that everything that we would identify in the soulish realm is us. God does not even identify you that way. God looks at you and says, you are my child. You are born of my spirit. You are first and foremost a spirit. You have a soul that is supposed to be your servant. You live in a body. That body is like your earth suit. From God's point of view, it's exactly like the suit. It serves the same function that we would put an astronaut in to send them to the moon. You got to have that suit to operate there. Well, you got to have an earth suit to operate here. But you are not your body. What he's trying to tell us here, you're also not your emotions, and neither should you be a slave to them. Your soul, you are to possess your soul. That soul is supposed to be a servant. Now, this morning I got into the lesson we have at the website called Servants Upon Horses. Real quickly, Solomon said, I have seen a terrible thing. I've seen something horrible. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking. Boy, I mean, I used to read that and I think, what? Boy, it's like that other one. You know, where a tree falls, there it is. I'll do that. But that, there's great wisdom in that statement. There's great profound wisdom there. But boy, I remember in the early days, man, Solomon was deep, you know. Where a tree falls, there it lays, okay. Well, anyway, here, when he says, the prince should not be walking alongside and the servant up on riding on the horse. See, that horse is like a type of your life. That's where you're going to travel. That's your journey. But who's supposed to be directing that? The soul or the prince? The servant or the prince? Well, the prince is supposed to be up on top of that horse. The soul is supposed to be like the servant that runs along beside, you know, just always available for the prince's use. The prince is supposed to get his direction from the king. In this case, that would be the Lord. Well, most Christians even, most people, most humans, for the most part, they live by their soul. They live by the intellect, by the emotions. You know, I think back about my own life. I've told you before about the fights I used to get into in high school. As I think back about that now, I'm pretty sure the Lord didn't direct me to do one of those fights. Yet at the time, I felt fully justified. The training I had received from my daddy and the world, and I had rights, like Dave was saying today. I had rights, you know, and how dare you? And I'll make you pay. You better treat me like I want to be treated. And as I look back on it now, not one of those fights was directed from the king. Every one of them, the servant was riding a horse. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? Well, now, the reason I'm bringing that up, okay, just going a little further now. Here's where I'm digressing. That's enough to bring your thoughts back to where we were this morning. If you want the rest of that message, it'll be available tomorrow at the website. Now, I want to remind you one more time what the definition of the word patience is. It's the same word used over in James chapter 1 where it says, I don't want to misquote it at all. Hang on here. Just take me a minute. James chapter 1, where it says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, it is the same Greek word, hupomone, H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E, and the primary definition means cheerful or hopeful endurance. It's endurance with a hope. You're enduring it because there's a hope at the end of it. It's the absolute opposite of despair and despondency and hopelessness. It's the exact opposite of that. Well, we taught on that this morning. And he says here in the next verse, which I didn't get too much at this morning, it says, let endurance, let that kind of endurance, where you endure for a hope, you endure for a reason, let that kind have her perfect work. And if you can become that kind of a person that develops that kind of endurance, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. How many wants to be that kind of person? Well, I've been thinking about that message this whole day. And I'm thinking, now, what's the point for the people of the prayer center? We could go through, and this morning we talked about what, I mean, Jesus demonstrated this so many times, but the epitome was in Hebrews where it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Now, you talk about endurance. But he had a hopeful endurance. He didn't endure that for no reason. For the joy set before him, there was a joyful, hopeful reason that he endured that agony, that he endured. Look to somebody else and say, hello, joy. It was us. And the pleasure that it brought the Father. I mean, this is what the Father wanted. He wanted to do the Father's will, but he also loved us. Now, so I was asking the Lord this afternoon, I said, knowing we're going to do tonight, I said, now what, the people that come tonight are hardcore, God, you know, they, what are you saying with this message for them? Well, then he reminded me again about the very first word that ever came to the prayer center, the very first service, the very first prophecy. It's still out there, you can read it out there on the foyer on the left-hand side as you go out of the church. It's pretty long, and I'm going to read it all. But we're going to emphasize a few things here. Okay? See, the kind of endurance, what he's taught. I don't know whether to say this before I read it or after I read it. I'll read it as we go through. I'll talk as we go through. All right. This is from the first meeting in the prayer center, March 2nd, 1989. I wasn't here then. We didn't start till 1992. Came through Pastor Dave. It says, when you have done all you know to do to stand, stand therefore, saith the Spirit of grace. For truly, I desire by my power to shake this place. For taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and again I would say, when you have done all you know to do, stand and stand therefore. Now at the very first service, he says, the key word shall be endurance, says the Spirit of grace. For I will teach you by my power and by my Spirit how to keep building in power until your endurance will produce my desired will in this place. For I will train you, saith the Spirit of grace, about the snares and the traps of the enemy. How many of you have heard some teaching on those lines over these years? Boy, I have. For if you will pray and make it past those hard places. Why? Why? For if you will pray and make it past those hard places, we call those impasses, I will give you divine wisdom and understanding that will at last produce power that you can say is of me. For my miracles do I desire to pour out of you. I desire to shake this city and train many people before this first phase of what I want to do is through. So gird yourself up and be strong on my behalf, for I'll show you some things by my Spirit that you can have for an eternity, and they will last. So I'm giving you equipment that will work a great reward. For many of you are hungry and have desired to see these things. And I will lead you into that kind of reward, so be brave and stand strong, saith the Spirit of grace. I will work mighty mighty miracles before this is done, and you will not lose your place. For your reward shall be exceedingly great, so heed what the Spirit will say, for something new I begin this day. For great peace is my desire for you. Now we're talking about possessing your soul. Great peace is my desire for you, that you may fellowship with me in love, and I can filter through and through your life. I desire to take you from where you are to a place with me. Now, pay careful attention on this part, because my question to him this afternoon was, now specifically, this hopeful endurance, how would that translate into action for the core? Hello, core. You know, hardliners, diehards. But he says, if we'll do this, he says, I desire to take you from where you are to a place with me, a place you have known about way down deep in your spirit, that from the foundations of the world I have prepared for you. So I will lead you from place to place, and I desire to flow through you with grace. And now here it is. This is the answer to my question. This is how the hardcore is to practice this endurance. And if you will edify, what does that mean? Praying in tongues. If you will edify and edify and edify yourself, you will see before this is through. I will purge you from everything that is causing you to fail. If there was no other promise but that one. I concluded this morning saying I do have an advantage, and I know I do, over a lot of people, in that I was raised by O.R. Carpenter, who is a good man, but a very disciplined man. And he taught me from an early age what it is to have some discipline. And a lot of people don't have that. Now, that's persistence and endurance is real good if it's in the right vein. It's not so good if you're on the wrong vein. I was a very good drunk. And I persisted for about 10 years. Okay? But you get that channeled over in the right vein, it's a very good thing. But I'm going, God, what about all those that don't have that? I mean, they weren't raised that way. It's not part of their character. And he started reminding me. I started hearing Pastor Dave. All these lessons, all these years. God wanted to make it where anybody. You don't have to be intelligent. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to be athletic. You don't have to be this. You don't have to. You can be in a wheelchair. You can be in almost any situation. Do you have lips? He will even do the praying for you. You don't even have to know what's wrong with you. You don't know why you keep failing. But if you just can offer Him those lips. And it's our authority, really. And it sounds so simple. I mean, if I really went through the whole hour like Dave does to set it up, you know, all you got to do is just, you know, they just begin to pray. Now you've got God the Holy Ghost making intercession to God the Father in the name of Jesus. You're praying His will and He wants to answer His will. How can you fail? We all go, I'm going to go pray. And then you hit a hard place though. Now we teach on that too. Now see, and this is the part that it's really up to you. Because, honey, ma'am, sir, I don't care who you are. When you set yourself to begin praying in the Holy Ghost, we're not even talking about the enemy yet. The Holy Ghost is going to take a flashlight, put brand new AA batteries in it. He's going to open the door to the attic of your brain, of your soul, where all the hidden secrets are. And the light of God's truth is going to start shining that light. And you're going to start finding things out about yourself that say it, let's be nice and just say it this way, that are not Christ-like. When that starts to happen, you don't feel better. You feel worse. Oh, God. I thought you loved me. I do love you. Yeah, but I was fine before I started this prayer. No, you weren't. Yeah, but I've been praying a little while. And I didn't know I was like this. Does anyone else know? Everyone else knows. You see, at first you get real under guilt and condemnation. You know, you go, oh, God, I didn't. And because at first you don't recognize the key, you think He wants you to deal with it in your strength. And you can't deal with it in your strength. That's the whole problem. That's why He put a new nature in you that is a conqueror. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you've got that same, if you're born again, you've got that same Christ, that same all-conquering God on the inside of you. So that's why this prophecy, it keeps talking about endurance, if you can make it past the hard places. Well, how do you make it? Don't stop praying. Now, core group, some of you have been either here physically or connected with this message for about 20 years, some of you, close to it. Let me tell you what hopeful endurance is not. Hopeful endurance is not attending the services. It's good to attend the services, but that's not what this prophecy is talking about. Hopeful endurance is not listening to CD worship tapes. Okay? Hopeful endurance is not about coffee shop meetings and talking about God and fellowshipping with everybody and taking them out of prayer when they're trying to pray. Okay? See, the reason people gravitate towards that is that the servant is on the horse and they need soul gratification. And we won't run you off. We won't be mean to you for that. In the early days, I would try and come down here and pray, which I could do until you, once you speak, you're a goner. You know, everybody, you know, they want to talk to you, and I understand that. Okay, but I really need to pray. And so we used to have those all night meeting things, and they would form a queue to line up to line up and talk. You know. And so I thought about, Sue never would let me. I wanted to make a t-shirt that said, on the front it would say, if you love me, let me pray. And on the back it would say, can't you see I need prayer? You know, please just, that's better than what I was wanting to put on the ball cap. Shut up. Shut up. We've come a little way since then. Hallelujah. This was a long time ago. But hopeful endurance. See, a lot of people think if I just keep coming, I'll change. No, you won't. That's not at all what the Spirit of God is talking about here. He's talking about the endurance of keeping those lips moving. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to even know what your call is. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to know anything. He knows everything. You don't have to know what's wrong with you. Does anyone know I'm like that? Everybody knows you're like that. The endurance, what endurance is for the core, I don't care if you've been here 20 years, how's your prayer life? Praying in tongues, are you praying? Still adding some fasting once in a while? How long has it been since you read through the New Testament yourself? These are the things. Have you assimilated all the books in the New Testament? What do you mean by that? We have a series out there on assimilation. I'm not going to teach that. But it's basically reading every book 30 times minimum. Equipping your spirit for day and night meditation. These are the things that if you will have hopeful endurance. And honey, nobody. I remember a friend of mine, he was assimilating 1 John. We call 1 John the love book, you know. I mean, about halfway through that, about 20 times through it, he told Dave, if I have to read about love one more time, I'm going to kill somebody. What I'm saying is it's not intellectually fun. It's not candy for the brain to read the same little book 30 times. You get tired of that. You doesn't want to do it anymore. I'm going to do something else. But who's going to sit on the horse? See? Who's going to direct this? You said, no, sit down here. We're going to read it again. We're going to read it again. Now you say, well, I don't have that in me. Okay, can you move those lips? the plan of God got it down to where just about anybody. Okay, well, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that. I don't have endurance, Gary. I don't have endurance. It's not in me. Well, really, it is. If you're born again, it is. It is in you. Well, I just can't read that book any more time. I just can't do it. Well, can you pray? Can you move the lips? Can you let the Holy Spirit make intercession for you? He knows what's wrong with you. He'll reach down in you. He'll purge everything out of the way, and eventually He'll grab hold of that nature of Christ that's in there, and He'll bring it to the front. It may take you a while. So God took all the tools we have, like fasting and confession and meditation, and of all of them, if you had to just have one, He distilled it down where I don't care who you are. You could be on a desert island with no Bible. But if you could pray, the Holy Spirit can still do His work of edification. So that's what He's talking about here. I want to read that one part again. If you will edify and edify and edify yourself, you will see this, you will see before this is through, that I will purge from you everything that is causing you to fail. If you do what? Edify, edify, edify. Let me go on now. It says, you will not only taste the victory that changing circumstances can bring, but you will taste the victory of the resounding peace inside you that will dominate everything in a circumference around you. People, that is presence. That is the Smith Wigglesworth type presence, where you just get on the train, you don't say a word, you're just sitting there. And there's such a presence of God, with the peace of God so resides in you, that people just sitting a few rows away, a man gets up and says, you convict me of God. No, you convict me of sin. Well, convicted, he's convicted by God, all right? But you convict me of sin, what must I do to be saved? How many of you want some of that? See, well, I do too. He says, if you'll edify and edify and edify. See, in that peace he's talking about, I can give some testimony of that. I mean, I haven't arrived. I'm preaching to myself. I've got to keep doing this too. But Dave says the same thing. He says, Gary, don't stop praying. He says, obviously we've got a lot yet to learn. If that wasn't the case, we'd already be in the revival. God's not withholding it for some reason. He's pouring out all of it He can on us. Well, myself too, but I can tell you about some of it. I remember in the early days when I stepped out of the boat, trying to walk on the water financially, trying to do what the Lord told us to do. You talk about the waves boisterous. I had trouble sleeping at night. I'd try and go to sleep, and I had these pictures of Sue and I. Here's my wife, trusting me to hear God. And the devil would paint pictures in my mind of us wearing some kind of gunny sack, sleeping under a bridge, building a little campfire. And I couldn't sleep. I couldn't get any peace. I was doing my best to obey God. I mean, but I was tormented with that peace. Oh. Tormented with that lack of peace. Tormented with those, what if it doesn't work? What if you miss God? What if this? What if that? On and on and on, on and on. Nobody else does it like this. Nobody else does it like this. Nobody else does it like this. But see, after you continue, make it past the hard places. We could have run like a scalded dog any time through there. Went back to the first church. Be nice little Christians. But we didn't. Now, we've been in some situations where the financial pressure was much greater in the sense of larger numbers and deadlines and timelines. To even myself, I'd think, I should be worried. I'll try. I can't do it. Why? Just what he said here. There's a peace. Yes, sir, I'll tell you this too. I used to ask the Lord. Remember the Bible studies? I kid about it all the time that, I'd end them promptly at 9 because the people, we had it on Thursday night and I knew people had to work. So we'd end it promptly at 9. Now they could stay for fellowship till 10. And Sue's sister Shirley would always used to have some pies made and stuff like that, and we'd fellowship. But, and so people would gradually leave, but there'd always be 3 or 4 stragglers. And it'd be 11 o'clock, 11:30, I'd start making hints in a nice, pleasant way, like, don't you have to go to work tomorrow? And be, midnight.
you know, I started asking the Lord. I said, Lord, why do they want to do that? Because we weren't doing anything to entertain them, you know. He told me, he says, you don't know the hell that they're walking back into at their house. They feel my peace here. It's pleasant for them. They're at peace and they're reluctant to leave it. See? Well, that's the beginning of that circumference, isn't it? It's the beginning of it, see? All right, let me go ahead with this. Is this okay tonight? See, for us, the message, I mean, we want to just make it so clear. I like it when the instructions are plain so I know what to do. Boy, he is telling us, even those that's been here 15 years, 20 years, he's saying, time to crank up the endurance again. Time to crank. We can see on the horizon some things coming now from Luke 21. It's time we better crank it up now. And what that means in plain English, no matter what you know about prayer, the question is, are you praying? Okay, I'm going to read that last sentence again for continuity's sake. It says, you will not only taste the victory that changing circumstances can bring, but you will taste the victory of the resounding peace inside you that will dominate everything in a circumference around you. Oh, here we go again. For edification, 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 higher, higher, higher in me, that you will complete the first foundation of your life, that I may be able to move you into intercession, that you can cause those that are bound to be set free. For Satan is furious, saith the Spirit of grace. He already is mad, and as a whirlwind is stirring up the demons against this place. But stand fast and edify yourself into a place with me, and when the storm comes, you will be delivered. Oh, you will be able to deliver the power that is of me. So be glad for the wellsprings of life and the counsel in the heart of man. I will draw it out, for there is many matters of wisdom that I desire you to understand. For I will teach you to walk in power. For my children, the thing between what I desire and is what is now taking place is being purged every hour. And in the context, he means every hour that you give over yourself to edification. For many people come to this city for training, you see, and oh, I desire to give them full training that they may leave in my power. So all of you who said, I hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be full. For I'll bring you into a place with me. Yes, I will bring you into a place with me. So I'm going to say once again what he's saying today. Endurance, let's not mistake at all what he's talking about. He's talking about edify, edify, edify. Whatever else you do, do not leave out edify, edify, edify. It'll help you make it through the hard places. And if you get stuck, if you get to where I just can't do, get yourself in the presence of people that will. The church is open most days, I understand, till from like 6 or 7 in the morning till, I don't know, about all day, I think. You could come down here and pray. There's usually a few. If there's not, there'll be one when you get here. And you can walk and you can pray. It's easier. I'll just tell you, there's the walls here are just saturated with the presence of God. You can, if that's possible. I don't know. I just know it's easy to pray here. Leave your cell phone out in the car. You don't have to. I can't now because I have a 90-year-old father in town and an 89-year-old mother. So I put it on mute and I have it with me. But you understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to answer that phone for every little, you know, not every little thing. How many of you take, I'll finish with this. How many of you take a phone call while you're in the dentist chair? You're in the dentist chair. He's got the drill. And your phone rings. How many of you are going to answer that? Is it not a hand that's going up? Why? You had to wait probably 3 weeks to get that appointment with that dentist. You've been maybe in pain. It's important to you that your, can I say, fellowship with the dentist is uninterrupted. That dentist is doing good things for you. If you can ever understand that with the Holy Ghost. Now the good thing about him, he's available to you 24/7. But if you set apart time for him, we should consider that much more beneficial, much more important than every little phone call that you might get, or, you know. But most of us, we let every little interruption, any little thing in the soul disrupt. And that, when that happens, then again, we've let the servant get up on the horse. You got that? So say, well, everybody has some level of endurance. I don't know if there was a scale on the wall, you know, 0 to 100. I don't know where I would flash on there. But you're on there somewhere. I'm on there somewhere. How many of you think you could use more? All he's saying is, look, whatever it is that up to this point has been causing you to fail, if you'll just edify, edify, edify. Let's say it a little different. If you'll pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, he's going to separate, remove from you everything that's been causing you to fail. Glory to God. That's good stuff. Hallelujah.